Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to the Deanne Burley Show, and this is Deanne on the detectors, and I'm doing some kind of strange broadcast. I'm calling in live. My cat can't call in because he has a problem with his system. So I'm calling in on the show as I'm traveling and talking to you about some of the things that are going on. Such as Mike was going to cover today for me while I was gathering up information. And what it is that we're going to talk about today is the situation with the judicial system of Chicago. We're going to talk about that and some other information about, you know, where is all this pension money going? Where is all the dollars for the court system going? Where is all these millions and billions of dollars that claim that we don't have that seemingly is coming directly out of our pockets every single day, not only for taxes, but also for the use of our money? It's being moved. It's being taken from us daily. And we're the public, and we're sitting there talking about voting somebody else in. Really? Why would you want to vote more of these characters in when there's no explanation of where they're putting all this money? Now, let me go to one level, and I've complained about it before, and let me put it to you in more of a connected content. You have a situation where there are courtrooms all over Chicagoland area and the suburbs. Each courtroom holds probably close to about 100 people. Maybe more, maybe a little less, person coming into the court, before they even get in the court, get their toe in the court, they have to pay court fees. Fees for filing. Fees for filing are $300-some-odd, some of them even higher, depending on what it is that you need to attach on to your call. There's an appearance fee, there's a first-time filing fee, there's this fee and that fee. So a person litigating in a case has to come out with close to maybe $500. I had a circumstance happen just recently, a very important case being heard in federal court, and it was scramble over money. I didn't have the money for the filing fees. I have no money. I was in 3 major car accidents under suspicious means. And then when you go in and file a populist petition in these courts, I've been told that the people that are supposed to be looking at this don't even look at them and stamp it as though you have money. So if you don't pay them, they won't allow you in the court. If you don't write it in the specific language that they ask for, they will kick your case out of court, folks, and they won't allow you to continue. They might even, just on the money basis alone, put prejudice. And if they do that, they're not looking at maybe a criminal aspect that's going on. The only thing that is concerning them is money. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, and just think about it. I am an age lawyer, let's say. I'm making $200,000 a year. In fact, the folks that were in the mortgage industry, the loan officers were generating that kind of money back in the day just before the mortgage crisis, $250,000 a year. Just think about that number. Say you have a law practice, they have other attorneys, you get percentage off of them for holding desk space for their cases. So you think of the amount of money that a lawyer brings in for having his own law practice, if he is working legitimately and having enough clients, that's a lot of money. Now, why would a lawyer making that kind of money leave the comfort zone of that kind of money where you can buy a Porsche or whatever the hell you want and go and work as a judge receiving like $50,000 a year, or maybe if pushed, maybe $100,000 a year? There's a huge, vast difference in one level or the other. It's not about prestige, folks. It has to do with the pension fund. In addition to that pension fund, there's other perks. This is the reason why in Chicago they had the Graylord. Graylord case came about because of the additional perks for holding judgeship. Judge Lefevre sat there and called himself God because he could rule life and death over someone like Caligula. That's how corrupt that these people's minds get. They lose control and understanding that before them are people that all of their livelihood depends on their decisions to read and go through the documentation as a person that is supposed to be hired to work in the highest place in the land of the law to handle these cases. Now, I talk to individuals, they jump up and down and talk about the president, but, you know, a lawyer cannot remove a president, but a judge can. So why is it that we allow them to appoint whoever they want as judges, and why is it that we allow them to abuse us with our own money? In addition, today, while I was traveling just now, was talking to some individuals, and they were spilling the guts of what was going on. The deal, the fact that the money that you're paying into your pension is going into the pension funds of these people in the state and in local government, that's a part of their perks, folks. Your pension is pouring into their pension fund. So you're sponsoring people that have monies, vast amounts of money, and they're dumping your pension into their Corfu so that they will be able to do whatever they were doing before when they were gainfully employed owning a law practice. Now, in addition to this corruption that's going on, okay, you got a situation in Illinois, and this is all over the place because I've talked to Dr. Cordoro out of New York. I've talked to other ones that are out there that are law professors and things that are really fighting for the cause. And they're complaining about the same thing, but kind of hush mouth because they don't want to get too involved because this will impact on them. Because what they'll do, if you say anything, they will come in and pull your law license through the Bar Association. And then to make it even worse, if you sign up for the Bar Association, those folks are supposed to have a judicial process then look into the fact if a judge does something against the canon laws that they're supposed to follow, they're supposed to move for criminal charges against them. Well, folks, they don't do that because everybody's in bed with everybody else and they're all connected to the money. You remember that movie that said something about follow the money? Well, I was following the money with the mortgage industry fraud, and there was a bunch of people that should have been locked up, and government agencies covered it up and put them back on the street to compromise and entrap other individuals. And it goes on and on because they get pension money and other funds from doing these horrible, horrendous deeds. So now you got a massive amount of corruption going on. You try to adjudicate your case in court. You get nowhere. You file all these fees. As I told you, minimum is about $500 just to file. The other side has to pay fees to file as well, so that's additional fees that they get in the court. Then there's other fees that are tacked on to that, and then you multiply it by 100 people per hour and take times it 20 court calls in one branch. And then you figure out that all the way up until 5 o'clock at night. And then you do the math and figure out, oh, my God, look at all the money. Now, they haven't increased the salaries of the judicial staff because they say they don't have no money. They have not done anything to change anything to make it easier and burdenlessly for people to file. And in addition, I heard that they were moving old files out of the United States into the hands of foreign places so that in order for you to go adjudicate another case of what you had previously put out there, you don't have the original documents because they're somewhere else. You catch my drift of the importance of the corruption and the importance of the fact that maybe you should look into not voting these suckers back into office. Keep voting them back in. It's your responsibility. You can't give these people the total responsibility for everything because they are not gods. They're not Caligula. I think Caligula would have been much nicer, to be honest. But again, what do? And then we complain. I use Chicago judicial system as a system example, but it's all over the country. And then if you go to the next reporting agency to talk about it, they do absolutely nothing. And the reporters that have come out to say something, they end up gone, vanished, kicked off the air, attacked, et cetera, et cetera. Why is that? Because they know there's no one that's going to jump up and do anything. We have become so complacent to paying and paying and giving and giving that we have lost our minds and senses to this. I saw something today. It's just totally outrageous. Before it was a situation, when you went into the court system, they used to have court reporters. They had them there because of the situation that you had individuals that had cases that went into court, that in the courtroom somebody would say something that would show that there was fraud in the court. You could take that court case and bring it back as a rule to show cause because somebody went into court and lied or said something. But because they removed the court reporters, because they claimed they didn't have no money, but at the time they took the money and moved it in to paying for privatized prisons because it was more money for them to go the privatized prison route than actually putting money into something that serves and protects the population, the money was removed. And therefore, in order for you to adjudicate, like, say, for instance, situation of an estate or something that rendered you in a situation of compromise, you, if you did not have the money to pay for a court reporter, then you're out of luck. I remember when Judge Foreman used to come in the court, he used to tell his court reporters to shut it down, cut it off, because he didn't want anybody to hear what he had to say. Corruption, man, corruption. I went before him once because of a property scam that was going on the north side. He immediately moved the case because he knew I knew he was Grey Lord. Judge Foreman was 100% Grey Lord. I don't know who he paid off or what the hell happened, but then he became the Chief Justice over the Judicial Inquiry Board. How the hell do you do that? But we accept it. Even though we're paying for it, and then we complain, and then when you turn around and you have no money, no pension, nothing left, when you get to retire, and maybe you get a chance to work at Walmart unless they close down because you're going to have to come out of retirement and work again because there's not going to be any money, and it isn't you paying forward to somebody else's pension fund because I worked from when I was 16 years old. I worked in big corporations like Westinghouse, United States Gypsum, all that stuff at a very young age. I should have had enough money to buy the Taj Mahal. Nothing, folks. Absolutely zero, zonch, nothing. You're next. And don't let them tell you, oh, you're paying in Social Security. No, they drained the Social Security money to use for the wars. They don't tell you the truth. George Bush, senior, junior, or whatever one of them that was sitting there, passed bills to move that money from Social Security to use for those Gulf Wars, which was an oil war, to protect the oil barons, not us. Now let me move into another level of this corruption and craziness. There's no court reporter, so if you have a property dispute and somebody is robbing your property and they come to court and they admit the robbery of your property, unless you have money to pay for the court reporter, you're out of luck. Unless you have the money to have the print done and the hours it takes for them to type it out, you're done. So you have no fiduciary evidence. You have nothing supporting anything. You have nothing at all. So what you have is a court system that is running on its own arms and legs, not representing the people, but representing those that have huge pension funds that are being funded by you, yourself, and all the other millions of Americans that are sitting here with no money at all and wondering how they're going to keep everything going. They're taking this teacher's pension fund. They're taking individuals that have been working. I talked to a young lady. She's working this job. She's disabled. Worked there for 15 years. And the thing is that the governor came back, a couple governors before, came up with a plan and a scheme to say, oh, okay, well, wow, okay, you're not going to keep that job anymore. We're going to relinquish those jobs. And all the work that you did for the 15 years, you can't use that to qualify for a job at the same level because we say so. So that means the person that is disabled, that's working the job, has been infringed on. And in fact, it's against the law, and the governor is supposed to be with the law because what it covers is ADA law. It infringes on human rights law, unemployment, equal rights amendment laws. It covers all of that. But because people, they figure it's ignorant to the law, they do whatever the hell they want and get away with it. The more bloody and evil it is, the more and merry they go ahead. Because we don't say anything about it, and we keep electing them in. And in fact, they don't even get elected in. The game is, what they do now is instead of getting elected, well, what we do is we'll put our relatives in. So once I retire, okay, I got a cousin. He's going to get in there. Now, it doesn't mean you voted him in. Say you didn't want to vote him in. How did he get in? Oh, yeah, well, so-and-so's running, so he's going to retire, but he's going to put his cousin's going to get in. And you don't say nothing about it. So you wonder why. This isn't a funny situation, folks, because people out here are dying in the street. I met a lady yesterday. She came back from Hawaii. Prime example of the medical industry and the corruption that's going on there. She went to Hawaii, and she was healthy as hell, had nothing wrong with her, had no disputes of anything, of a major illness or anything. So guess what happened to her? She goes in, and I don't know if she had heart palpitations or what, but they decide to give her IV dye in her heart to check and see if her, you know, heart was functioning properly. So she went ahead and did it. So she went and got this test done. And after she took the test, folks, it came back that on the table, when they were doing the test, she had a massive stroke. Her left side has not recovered yet. It's from the dye. The person prescribing this procedure happened to be not a doctor, an intern possibly, but was not a registered MD that should have been looking at her case in the first place. Now, to cut corners on that, the hospitals are now removing the doctors and putting whoever what on staff so that they won't have to pay all this money, and I guess it's hidden in the Obama plan that it's okay for them to do this, to cut back on cost. This way, they're all working hand in hand. And then if you have something going on, like I had a car accident, heaven forbid, they put in code in the record, something like, oh, okay, well, make sure you treat her the same way, no matter where she goes. Don't give her any treatment. Because if she gets treated and something happens, you know, wow, we're on the corner for the money. We're not going to get our money. It's all about money. Greed system here in the United States has gotten to the point of no return. And the only ones responsible for letting the monster grow is us. There's no other responsibility to point fingers at. It's us. We sat there and allowed this to get to the point where it is now. And we sit there and cry and, you know, raise our voices, of, you know, how did this get like this and stuff. And then I hear about, you know, oh, it's Obama. Oh, it's this. Well, you know what? How the hell did these people get in office? And if you don't take stance on it, you know, it's more than just voting. It's the fact that these people continuously are connected and they continuously get in office, writing legislation, writing a proclamation, decorations, whatever, to get their thing across because they're all lawyers and they know how to scurry around the law. I ran into this young kid today, and for the last couple of weeks I've been seeing him. He was complaining the fact that as a young black man out here, he's been targeted, and he has been. Because the targets are exactly that. Because they want to have a race riot. If they have one, guess what happens? Shut down martial law. Nobody's falling for it, though. But the media makes it look like they're falling for it because it looks like every day tens of thousands of people in crowd scenes, which you can do and orchestrate in a movie like Batman had maybe a couple hundred people, and you multiply it by thousands and thousands and thousands by using quick levels of computer graphics. It looks like more people are involved when it's not. So other people can get excited, get involved, and they're posed and create one incident, and then what happens, bam, like in Wisconsin martial law. So everything will be shut down at 6 o'clock. You won't be able to get any food. They'll ration out whatever the hell they want. It's like we're in a third world country, and we're sitting there allowing it. It's nobody else. It's us. And it's not, I'm talking about going out rioting, marching, and stuff. That doesn't work. Forget all that. You know what I would suggest to everybody? Everybody should stay home and don't vote at all. And then if they come up with tens of thousands of people voting, then you got them. Because that way, collectively, it shows that nobody voted for any of these suckers. So how the hell did they have a huge count come in if nobody went to the poll? I worked news election a long time ago when Ronald Reagan was running against Jimmy Carter. And I was just appalled because they sent us all home, and that was where the vote information was coming from. And there was no votes coming in because the equipment was down. But they came on television saying, oh, Carter lost, this, that, and the other. And I was sitting at home, and I was like, how the hell did they get in the vote? So I called back to see if I could get back over to the work. And they said, oh, no, we're still shut down. But the news media had it on there that Reagan won. But when they actually did the votes, if you check, Jimmy Carter actually won. The game, you're being played like a fiddle. I see more people out here with diabetes than ever before. Why? What is it? What's dumped in your food and water? What is it? Well, we're complacent and we're okay with it. You go to the doctor because you're scared because you don't know what's going on because every day you go out, you get sick, and you don't know what's going on. So the first thing you say, oh, let me go to the doctor. And then now there's a whole lot of holistic doctors that are disappearing and dying out there because they want to make sure that nobody takes a vitamin and gets well. Too many of us, rest of them. We ain't played like a fiddle. And it won't stop. It's just creasing, and then when it will stop, then that's when it's going to get real scary. Say that, you know, there is a creator. A lot of people don't believe in a creator. You know what? There was a creator that created all of us. I know an angel saved me. I know that. I know something's been out there There's forces of good and evil going on right now. And the thing I will tell you for a fact, keep doing what you're doing. And you know what? It's going to be a change in the agenda. That's the same thing that happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. People sat there and just was complacent and running out there doing all kinds of nasty things. And it was all about the judicial system, in fact, because the judicial system was raping individuals that came in that were not the member of the in crowd of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, the truth is the truth. You know, what they wanted to tell you, they told you something entirely different in order to make it sexual or whatever. They had to do more or less with the behavior of how people were treating each other relating to the court system then. Because Lot was a judge. Look it up. We'll go a little bit further than what they put in whatever Bible you're looking at. Because, see, what they did is they rewrote it and put whatever the hell they want in there in order for them to control you. The game. They're doing mind control. They have sound frequencies that go in the areas. You hear loud sounds, low-pitched sounds. I remember in the Philippines back in the 90s, there was a situation they had this sound frequency going on and on and on, and people were being influenced by the sound frequency so badly that these individuals started acting crazy and killing one another from this low-pitched sound frequency in the Philippines. I found out later it was a government experiment to see what they could do to control people's behavior. So now we're in 2016, and where is it that it looks like we're doing better? Are we really? Are we doing better, or are we doing worse? It's all what you consider, what you want to do. You want to pay taxes without representation? They already had a Lady Godiva situation in Chicago maybe about 5 months back. Somebody was riding through the street naked in Chicago. Do it yearly. They don't talk about it, but it goes on. You got people out there, tax protesters and everything. But the thing is, it's not doing any good because the thing is, it's still doing whatever they're doing because they don't care. They don't care because they figure that they got you. They got you under lock and key because all you got is lawyers out there. So now the two candidates you're looking at running for president, one is a lawyer and the other one is a businessman. Now, are either of them on your side at all? Are any of them on consideration of where we are as citizens or understanding the mechanism of what's going on with the poor and the people that have been unjustly treated in the United States? We can't even file war crimes because we're not even a part of the International Court of Justice. I tried that 20 years back after 9/11. I saw these damn culprits out here involved with flight schools. I tried to go to the World Court of Justice on them. And the thing was, later on when they had Operation Broken Dreams, where one of them got locked up for a minute, and who knows where he is, probably out operating, running banks again or whatever. Because they don't hold them but a second, let them back out on the street. And then they wonder, why is somebody, terrorizing people? How come people are losing their homes and stuff? They're doing it. That's them. I walk out there and talk to people on the street every single day to find out what's going on, like old school reporters used to do. Go out there with the pencil behind their ear with a tablet in their hand. And they're out there trying to do what they can to get the information to the public, scrambling to the press. That don't exist anymore because they got conglomerates taking over the media. Black press is almost gone. There's only like a few papers in Chicago that, worth anything damn to read. Other ones are just stuck with ads. And the other ones that are used out there are, politically funded. So what are you looking at? Is it looking at something that's for you, or is it something that's working for them? It should be a public outcry to this before you go out and, render yourself a voter or, I'm going to vote for this or this and that and the other, because whatever you're doing isn't counting. What's the point? this is still going to continue to go on because the reaction is the same from us. They see no change. The only time that things change is you change yourself. It's even with relationships. You might be with somebody you love to death. And you swear that you're going to be with that person no matter what. And the person keeps spitting on you and kicking you down and belittling you and treating you like you're absolutely nothing. Talking bad to you, about you to their friends. You know, oh, I don't like her. She's ugly. Or, oh, she's too fat for me. And they're laughing. And she, you know, he's laughing. Or she's laughing. Or joining in the pack and everything. And that woman or man has your back. Has your back. Life and limb for you. And you have little consideration other than what your dumbass friends tell you is supposed to be when they're suffering a purgatory because they have dumb, stupid relationships because it's based on absolutely nothing. And then all of a sudden you look around and that person that was there all the time for you just gets up and says, you know, the F word and walks off. Kind of like that movie, you know, with Michael Douglas. Anytime he reached out to his wife, he took his hand and flung it down somewhere else. Even while they were laying there dead, dying, took his hand and just flung it somewhere. Just get the hell away from me. Now, we never saw anything he did, but evidently to her, he did something because she didn't want to have nothing to do with him. Why is it that we still don't play that same role with the politicians? Why do we still look at him as, you know, oh, okay, well, you know, he did it. Oh, he's funny. Oh, look at what he did there. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah, it's funny when you're looking at him like that. But is it funny when they take every damn rat's ass set you have, your retirement fund, take away the advantage of your children going to school and getting a position somewhere or be able to develop a business? Is that funny? Is he cute and furry then? Or is he a scoundrel? You have to understand what a scoundrel is to a human being and then work from there. Then you have legitimacy of what it is that we're talking about here. We can fuss and complain about these things that we don't have and how much they're taxing us and how they're taking away our water rights, they're taking this away. But if everybody collectively sits there and does absolutely positively nothing, then why? Then you need to shut up. What's the point? Be quiet about it. Now, I'm here on the air in the middle of the street trying to get somewhere because Mike couldn't come on the show. But I'm talking to you because I'm trying to show sensible issues here because the sense makes no sense. I'm looking at all these millions of cars. It's like maybe not even 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, we're talking about maybe 1:30. Zillions of cars going back and forth to work, burning up huge amounts of gas, running back and forth and stuff. And I would say 30% of these people don't have any money, real money, nasty money, where they can take their money and pop off and go into the Riviera, wherever the hell they choose to, where they can go and get perfect health care, you know, for themselves. I remember seeing Dick Cheney kicking the back like he had nothing else wrong with him. And then I saw him walking around with congestive heart failure, and I'm totally jacked out, going to the same physicians, allegedly, because they're supposed to all have the same type of equal rights to health care. Anyway, he jumps up and is walking around like nothing's going on. He walked around during the Ronald Reagan funeral. I couldn't hardly stand or breathe. Same health care? I don't think so. Free, affordable health care? Where is it? Show it to me. Show me the free, affordable health care. How come you have to pay $900 and up a month for a single person for health care when it's supposed to be free? What the word free to mean means that you don't pay anything. Not pay $900, $100, $300. Then the doctors look at you like you're stupid and say, oh, we don't accept that. Oh, we don't take that kind of insurance. Who told you that? So you're sitting there with stupid, dumb insurance, running around stupid, thinking that you got something because somebody told you it's free, and it's not free, and you believe this crazy stuff because some lawyers told you it's free. I sat there and read the Obama plan, and I'm like, oh, my God. And it wasn't Obama plan in the first place. It was the Bill and Hillary plan from way back. I remember when they came out with their Affordable Health Care Act, and it didn't go through. That's when people were conscious and said, nah, you ain't doing that. Hell no, that's not happening. Now, oh, it's free. Oh, yeah, oh, I could go to the doctor. You could have gone to the doctor before. They had medical cards before. You could go on. That was actually free. Now they're taking Social Security money, popping that out to pay for the Affordable Health Care Act and taking money away from seniors and freaking killing seniors in nursing homes and doctor's offices in order for them to fund all these different things. I have not seen in my life so many people that have blackened legs, lost limbs. We're okay with that. Then when you get there, and then you start screaming and howling, who the hell are you screaming to? Because there's no one investigating anything because we don't have nobody. The political activists, they're all the ones that we're doing stuff, they're all gone. The other individuals out there are supposed to be doing stuff, they ain't doing crap because they're scared. Because if they do anything, they come in and shut down the doors. All of them will be funded through the government because, remember George Bush, you know, that name you don't mention at all, but pull everything over to Obama. George Bush also wrote the law that in order for you to have a charity, the charitable funds had to go to certain charities. And those charities that he picked out have to be ones that were funded directly through the government and those that were senators' wives that controlled that entity. So, and then they go under investigation, and then once the investigation goes on, all of a sudden the case vanishes. But there's no corruption. So you go on and do what you do with this stuff. I'm just reporting what I see. And it's tiring, it's upsetting to me, it's saddening to me, because I don't see any progress here in the United States, and other countries are looking at us, and as we are collapsing, they are, because they rely on us economically, and we're not doing a goddamn rat's thing to change anything in this society, nothing. I think about the people that lost their lives, civil rights people, black and white, that stood up and said, no, you're not going to do this. I remember talking to Stutz Terkel years and years ago. He was an activist, and he told me, he said, Deanne, I'm an old man. He used to always say that he was an old man, because he was saying, basically, he can't do no more. Can't do no more. I've been involved even though I didn't want to get involved. I've been involved since my dad's death in 62 as a kid because I was supposed to pick up the anthem from him. He was a hub of the black press. But now we don't even have a black press anymore. There's only like, there's a few out there standing there firm, fighting to keep the cause going. Got street reporters and stuff. The rest of them are all tied into the gang. Gave in. I went by the defender. It was appalled. I was like, where the hell did that go? Go down the street. That's over another cemetery, a funeral home. I go down looking for a Johnson Publishing Company. You know how hard it was? John Johnson had to go through hell to try to get a building on North Michigan Avenue. I remember that as a little girl. He had this white dude that was working for him, and he had that guy front a building for him because they wouldn't allow blacks to have buildings on Michigan Avenue. Now that's Columbia College. No more Johnson Publishing Company. They're publishing out of wherever. I don't know where it is, but building vanished, gone. As soon as the wife dies, father dies, the rest of the kids do whatever the hell, you know, run off and do whatever, and they don't give a rat's ass either because they didn't know how to run the publishing company at all. And the thing that makes me mad is my dad, Jet Magazine, was my father's. And then they go pop a $5 price tag on it. Who the hell's going to pay $5 for a little tiny magazine?